Item number three is an application for subdivision and rezoning for 3411 Pemina Highway under file DAS Z4 of 2011. The applicant is Mr. Kevin Lawler.
Before the applicant speaks, I'd just like to put it on the record that it wasn't intended under clause 3E and F that surface parking and structured parking would be not permitted. It was supposed to be non-accessory parking. So we intend to allow for surface parking in conjunction, just not accessory, standalone parking, and that's the only use. That's what we intended to recommend. So if the committee agrees with that.
So change clauses 3E and F, sorry, 2A, 3E and F, delete those two and replace with E saying non-accessory parking?
Non-accessory parking, correct.
Okay. If committee's okay with that.
Okay. Do we, sir, before we let you start speaking, do we need to go on camera? You're not going to give away the secret for the 11 herbs and spices, are you?
Colonel Sanders.
I'm not Colonel Sanders, no. Can I start now?
Just teasing you about your goatee.
I know. So, go ahead. I was hoping you wouldn't recognize me, actually, but that hasn't worked. Hi, my name's Kevin Lawler, and some of you may recall me or remember me from bygone days. I'm here in a totally different context right now with my colleague, Otto Chang, of San Otto Design.
Otto Chang Architects.
I'm here on behalf of my clients, Sam Chang and Hank Penner. They are proposing a rezoning of a lot, 3411 Pemina Highway, to a combination, it's combined commercial residential use, the commercial being a hotel. So it's combined residential condominium hotel use. I'm going to give a brief overview, and then I'm going to turn it over to Otto in terms of the design and the work that's been done on the project from a design standpoint. This project, right from the outset, I think is innovative, and it's the reason I got involved in it, because it's an innovative. It's not customary in Winnipeg as a rule to build combination hotel and condominium projects. It's usually one or the other. So this is very unique. It's not a large hotel. It's not a large condominium building. It's not a large site. So, but it is a unique building, and I think it's the kind of use which St. Norbert and proximity need. From the very outset, from my perspective, and I think that of the architect, was that this project is the first rezoning and subdivision that's going through the process before your committee under the stringent guidelines of the new PDO that was adopted last year in St. Norbert. So this is the first project that has to adhere to all of those guidelines, and we have made an extreme effort to adhere to them. I've actually gone beyond, I think, the guidelines and also the zoning bylaws. We have tried to adhere completely to the zoning bylaws in an effort so that we wouldn't have to come back with any variances. We wanted this to go through clean. We wanted the support of the St. Norbert Group Action Committee. And Otto, to his credit, has done, I think, sterling work in being able to do that. We've achieved that. And so it's, a good project. Certainly, I think we got the endorsement of the Group Action Committee. I think that they have, I've attached basically what I've given you there is a two maps basically showing, we'll get to this in a minute, but the two maps showing two easements, one from the city, proposed easements, from one from the city, and the southeast corner of the site. And I've also included a copy of the letter from the Group Action Committee of St. Norbert. So in that regard, just in terms of the reports themselves, we have worked with the planner. I've seen the planner's report. I think that we're completely fine with all of the conditions within the planner's report. The Group Action St. Norbert has made several recommendations attached to their sort of conditional upon approval. And you know, we're fine with basically all of them. The problem is that several of them related to, well, I guess it's number three, we request any deviation from the proposed ratio of condos to hotel rooms require a public hearing, and also the final one whereby they want to be circulated if there's any changes to the plan. Those are not really, you know, we can't implement those. That's really at the discretion of the planner and your committee. So if you, you know, want to insert those conditions in, that's fine. That's fine with us. So the only problem we in the ACG report, we went over carefully. We've been working in the last week fairly closely with Shirley Mateel, and also the engineers, the bridge engineers, Public Works. We were kind of caught off guard by this about a week ago. We got we saw the ACG report. We noticed at the back of it that there's a reference to an easement that the city wants to be able to access the Beaujolais Coulee to do some work, which is, we understand now, is imperative. It's important work. It has to be done. The problem was that when we overlaid it, the easement as shown attached to the ACG report, we overlaid it, we realized that it cut through our building, the southeast corner of the building. And so right away I had to arrange meetings with Roy Hartman and Brad Nurenick, who are here, by the way, to speak to this if need be. So they were courteous enough to meet with us. The problem we have, and we explained to them, is that we have no flexibility on this site. The building basically is locked into where it is. We can't shift it. We have a 49-foot, a 15-meter sort of setback at the back to habitable space along the railway. We can't really go north without losing or moving, shifting it north without losing parking. And so we're kind of locked in there. It's a fixed situation. So what we did was we proposed an alternative easement, which we can live with, and hopefully, you know, Public Works can also live with it. But we haven't heard back from them yet on that. So, but before we get into that, I think that's probably there's going to be some discussion on this, because this is really the only issue we have with this, you know, with all of the reports. We're willing to go ahead on the basis of the reports that we, or the recommendations in the reports that we have. So right now, I'd just like to, I think, just take a minute, turn it over to Otto, so you have a little bit clearer understanding before we get into the easement question of what is actually being proposed on this site. And I should mention that, as I mentioned before, an extreme effort was made to adhere to all of the design guidelines of the PDO, which are fairly stringent, parking and landscaping, which is extensive. We've met all of that. So I'll turn it over to Ottawa.
Good evening. My name is Otto Chang. I'm of Otto Chang Architects, Inc. Basically, the building here is a five-story building. The function is served to a hotel and condominiums. The building has about 32 units for condos and 56 units of suite for hotel. The building itself is basically it's facing fronting onto the Pamela Highway, and along there's basically two blocks. One block along
the
Beaujolais Coulee, and then we make enough room to put the parkings behind the building, so that the part of the PDO requirements that we have to basically to show all the parkings visible to the pavement highway. At the same time, the way we do the building is try to locate a building, try to away from the development, which is on the north side, immediately on the north side of the building. We try to create more open space. And as well, the location of the building, we try to have a minimum impact on the neighbors as well, too. That's pretty much that's it for now. If you have any question, I can show you some pictures of the drawings and so forth. If you like, if you're interested.
Sure.
Well,
can I approach you?
Just the Beaujolais Coulee easement. What's it for? Like, what's the idea there?
Well, yeah, Brad can probably elaborate on this, but the Beaujolais Coulee my understanding is it drains pretty well all of the water coming all the way from Waverly West, goes right through the St. Norbert, and carries it out through right beside the Renaissance into the Red. And so there's a fair amount of water at certain times of the year comes through there, and there are problems, I know, with the culvert, and there's some slippage and some erosion problems, which I guess have to be quickly addressed, which are probably in the applicant's best interest also.
Okay.
We're doing that, replacing that old culvert system underneath Cameron Highway over the next 2 years, I think.
So is this a use easement or just an access easement to do work, or is this land actually needed for drainage? That was kind of where I was going with this.
Access easement.
What's that?
It's an access easement.
This is only because there's construction coming along and somebody applied for the development, so they saw it as an opportunity to use this development process to have something to do with a capital project somewhere.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll ask you to stand down and, well.
Just one.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Just show me.
Pictures. Yes, sir. Oh, look at that. Wow. Where's the Lawler suite?
I think Kevin didn't draw that.
Okay. Very nice. Okay. Nice. Well, that looks very handsome. Very handsome. Okay, well, we tell you what, we'll ask you to stand down, we'll go through the list, and if there's any concerns, then we'll get
to it. Just one quick question before.
Sure.
Are you bang on the parking, Kevin, or are you over on the parking?
We are bang on.
Bang on?
Yeah.
So there's no room
we
like
lose,
you're...
Yeah, we lose one or two stalls, and we're in for a variance.
Okay. Beauty, beauty. Okay, I'll go through the list here, folks. People can come down and speak if they like or not. That's a dilly. This looks like Constant.
Person who resides at 9
yeah,
Paradise Bay.
9 Paradise Bay. Constant, is it Constantine Verroblou? I'm sorry. This is really.
Isn't that our last application?
No, 3411 Pembina Highway, it says. It looks like Constantly Verbulkley. I know that's probably not close, but that's what it kind of looks like. That must bring some. Is that anyone? No. Okay. I apologize for that, but it is genuinely tough to read that script. Anyway, the person lives at 9 Paradise Bay. Hank Penner, 97 Queen, listed in support. There we are. Norman Gousseau. Rue de Meuron, support. Inyang Chang, listed in support of 97 Queens Park. Thank you. David Cazares, listed in support. 108 Borbank, listed for information, I should say. Bill Laven of 124 Rue Saint-Pierre. Mr. Laven, welcome.
Good evening. Thank you for hearing me. I'm here with information about things that are going on in St. Norbert, and this particular project has an impact on them. Unfortunately, the impact is not likely to be able to be corrected for this project. But for future projects which are coming along, I think it really needs to be seriously addressed by the city. And the problem is traffic on Pembina Highway. And I'm not talking about traffic on market days, which is another subject, but just general traffic. We have this... We've had a number of additional housing developments on the west side of Pembina. In order for the vehicles from those locations to go downtown, which is the usual destination, they must come out of their location, cross Pembina, that side of Pembina, and invariably make a U-turn, usually at an uncontrolled connection.
Do we know that?
With this particular project, the vehicles have to will have to come out of the driveway, travel about 30 or 40 feet, and cross two lanes of highway, and then try to make a U-turn at Ducharme, which is an uncontrolled crossing. Am I wrong?
Could somebody just correct me? I think if I read this correctly, there is actually a cut that's put in place for this.
Well, okay, if that's the case, then that means the U-turn takes place at a little different location. But if you're going to do a cut for each of the properties between the creek and the co-op, you've got within that little section probably 1, 2, 3, 4 cuts to be made, and 4 locations where U-turns are going to have to be made, and so on. So I think if this what I would like and what was agreed at a group action meeting this past week, that each of the participating organizations would ask the city to do a traffic study for all of that side of Pembina Highway, particularly, which must take in all of Pembina Highway, and come up with a solution so that actually the additional projects that are undoubtedly going to occur there will actually be enhanced if you get the traffic right. I'm sure that that the people in this this particular project we're talking about tonight, the users of that project, are going to find it's awkward getting onto Pembina Highway. There is a solution, and I'm not a traffic engineer. This may not be the right solution, but along the highway, along the railway, which runs parallel to Pembina Highway, there is a fair amount of space most of the way, both from Trappist to Ducharme and from the Beaujolais Creek to Grandmont. Unfortunately, the latest project on between Beaujolais Creek and Grandmont goes right to the railway. So you can't put a lane or a street over to Grandmont from these people's project. Had it been noticed at the time, maybe it could have been moved a little further forward, and all of those, the traffic exiting those projects could travel to Grandmont, where there is a controlled intersection, and made their turn onto Pembina at that point. And I think that would have made a lot more sense. We have locals who are, one local anyway, who said he's observed what came very close to a fatal accident at Ducharme just recently. And the situation is only going to get worse. So I think what I'm proposing, which is a traffic study for the area to see if there is a solution, will save the city money with cuts, will make the properties both south of Ducharme and north of Ducharme more valuable, and improve the traffic flow for all of the residents. So that's my request, and I think that request is going to be coming from some of the other organizations that participate in group action. I just thought it would be worthwhile to bring it forward where we have this example in front of us that where the some, what is it, 70, 80, 90 vehicles in there are all going to have a little more difficult time getting to where they want to go and maybe a little riskier time the way developments have taken place there.
I want to correct myself here. There isn't a cut being built with this. There's an existing cut there already?
No, there isn't there isn't a cut there now.
Well, there is at the very north end of the property. With the cut that goes over, I don't know, it'd be the second house, or, you know, the two houses to the north of the Renaissance, there's a cut in front of those houses. I'm looking at the aerial.
Okay,
right
over
now.
There. Can you
And that's where the entrance to this lines up. The other thing that they are demanding that the developer pay for, not the city. The city doesn't pay for the cuts. If there was to be done to accommodate a development, it's paid for by the developer. They have to install a stacking lane for the northbound traffic so that you don't have the traffic sitting out blocking the lane of traffic for northbound if it was turning into this development, you know, like if somebody was going into the hotel heading north. The southbound traffic would easily just turn in. So there is an alignment there, but you know, I hear what you're saying, and I know that Norm's been pushing my buttons of late to get something done with the traffic study there, and we'll certainly do something, get a request into our guys and see if we can make any other improvements. The other side, if you talk around the railroad land, we don't control that land.
You know, no, so I know, but well, you do to the extent that you decide what makes a good development, I would think. And I don't think you
Within reason.
I don't think utilizing that area for access to a controlled intersection is a waste of property as far as the developer is concerned. I think they would find that they can plan around that to their own advantage. There is, we were shown the other night, a plan that behind the co-op for a development, and it too would, if it goes as planned, it too would cut off access for two other properties that eventually will be developed. But they do have a road out to Ducharme for their own project. If they just moved that road over to the railway, the other properties could utilize it as well. So, maybe that isn't an answer.
I hear what you're saying. Anyway, point well taken, and we'll push for a traffic study to get some appropriate recommendations out of the engineers.
Right. Okay. I should mention that we've asked for this a little while ago through Entreprise Riel, and the answer was, well, it's up to the developers to do traffic studies. But, however it happens... surely there's a lot of dedication money there that I don't know whether you can direct that to that sort of thing or not, but okay. Anyway, thanks very much for hearing me.
Thank you.
Why can't a car simply exit the property and just go north? Is that...
Well, because Pembina is a four-lane highway with a boulevard in between.
Gotcha.
So you've got a... you've got to have a traffic a cut. Councillor Swandell is saying there would be a turning lane is something that when we discussed another turning lane in St. Norbert, the traffic fellow said, well, we don't like that kind of turning lane. We don't like two turning lanes, one right after another. And I can tell you why, because I have to make a turn at that very corner many times a day or a week anyway.
Okay.
So there isn't a simple off-the-top solution here. Somebody's got to really look at it, look at the numbers of vehicles, look at what they have to cross, and get some expert advice, I think.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I think that's anybody else whose name has not been called wishes to speak on this matter? Oh, seeing none.
Ask Colonel Sanders here to return.
Colonel?
Mr. Lawler.
All right, friends, you heard the concerns. I'm not sure if the concerns were necessarily more directed to you or to the City of Winnipeg, but I'll leave that with you. Anything you'd like to say in rebuttal?
No, we understand that there are some issues with whatever happens on that site, no matter how much traffic you take off of it. You basically, in many cases, you're going to have to go down or go south and make a U-turn, whether at the lights or by the community center. That's a pretty much a given, you know. But in terms of the traffic generated by this proposal, the Streets and Transportation Department didn't have any major, I don't believe, any major concerns with the level of traffic that would be generated by it.
Okay.
Kevin, the ratio of 4-6 ratio of condos to hotel, that's the ratio that you have right now?
No, it's not.
What is it?
I think 4-6 is the same.
It's 2-3, isn't it?
We have 32 condos, 56 hotel suites. So it's not 42, it's 42.
So it's less than, yeah. Well, I'm just trying, I've got this letter in front of me. I just want to figure out the right number here. So 32-56 would be the ratio. To state it for the sake of going forward, if we're approving this as a residential mixed use development, and somebody wants the ratio to be an issue, we have to make some statement in there.
Well, what you could do is within the zoning agreement, you could put a ceiling on the number of condominiums and the number of hotel suites. It's locked into the zoning agreement. And any kind of change basically would have to come back for a zoning agreement amendment if you deem it that important. Any sort of change would have to come back with a plan, with design approval anyway, with new plans. But if it is significant enough an issue, then you can lock it into the zoning agreement, the number of suites and condo units.
And what did you say the numbers were right now?
56 and 32.
56.
32 condos, 56 hotels. Rooms.
88 units, which is a 4-6 ratio.
4-6 is the exact same as 2-3.
2-3.
Yeah.
36-50.
You're not allowed to say 4-6.
Yeah. I'm just reading what I got in front of me here, Gord, trying to make sure that I understand what the intent of what's being asked here.
I'm just teasing you.
Do I want to say 2 condos and 3 hotels?
I think the group action committee was, I think their main concern is that if there are any changes of any significance at all, that they have to be notified of it. Not necessarily that they have any approval power over it, but that they at least that those changes be routed through them and they have an opportunity to evaluate it, you know, to review them.
Okay. The other request about the fencing along the creek, I tend to agree with what they're saying here. I don't think that the wooden fence, I think it'll become over time, it'll become a place for graffiti or, you know, the wooden fence will become rickety. I don't know what other options we have. I know chain link gives it that more open feeling, but it leaves it open to the viewing of the parking in behind.
Well, we're prepared to put more landscaping along there, whether it's hedges or something to, I think it's aesthetically, it would be a little more appealing than the fence idea.
It's something that we can deal with in plan approval.
We can do that in the final plans.
Is the requirement in the plan is actually for a wooden fence? No, it's just what was on your drawings. There's no.
We looked at a fence, I think, just from a standpoint of safety, you know, from a liability standpoint. But
okay, so but it's not in the ACG report that a fence be built along that southerly edge, right?
Only on the west.
Only on the westerly edge, which is the railroad track.
Yeah.
Okay. And better landscaping in and around the proposed park lot. I, you know, that's why I asked you the question about whether you were at your max for parking, because it is going to be a bit of a sea of cement back there, although I do like the idea that the way the building is situated, and I'm trying to recall how the buildings are situated on the neighboring property that's going up.
Yeah, it's different. They didn't have to, they weren't required to push everything, you know, forward or meet the requirements as far as, you know, parking to the rear. And so, but we are, and to fully comply. So we don't have much flexibility at all. I mean, we basically have none. And we will attempt to put some more landscaping within the parking area to the extent that we can without losing stalls. That's about the best that we can, you know, we can do.
There's some along the property line, if we could add some more there, just to...
Along the north property line?
Along the north property line. There's, yeah, there's some in there. It doesn't look like there's a lot of room to no. put, even for what's in there. It's only about a four-foot space you're dealing with. But certainly out in the front, just in behind the pylon sign, there's room for some additional, just to screen it from the street.
How long
more?
The front?
Along Pembina Highway,
oh.
You know, in, you know...
Well, to give you some, I think we're talking, what, 200? What are the numbers?
52 evergreen trees. 52.
52 evergreen trees.
And 260 shrubs.
Okay.
Which is fairly significant compared to most.
We'll see that detail in the, in the plans when they come forward. Yeah. But certainly yes. we want to make sure that it's nice to see the evergreens there, so it's year-round. I don't have any more questions. The only other question I have is on the easement. I'm assuming because it's beneficial for you guys to get this work taken care of, rather than us trying to draw a line of where this easement should be, that we should be able to negotiate this easement going forward.
Well, go ahead, Shirley.
Shirley?
Mr. Chair, if I may, exactly along the lines that you are describing, Councillor, I'd like to amend our report, the ACG report.
Okay.
If we remove the words in paragraph one, if we remove the words as indicated on the attached drawing.
That the verbal required to enter a servicing agreement. Hang on, ACG report.
No, I'm recommending, Mr. Chair, that there be no drawing. We delete that drawing.
Oh.
Delete reference to a drawing. And delete reference to the completion date. That would leave this report.
Do you have it written out, Shirley? Can I just see what you have, sir? He'll give you the wording, but it works. So basically what it is that it's you're going to be obligated to provide an easement, but the detail of it will be worked out as you go forward.
We're hoping to work it out in the next couple, 3 weeks, so that the revised, if there's a revised drawing that can be attached to the ACG report, can be done during that time and then attached at PP&U.
Yeah. And I think all of our people have to be cognizant of the fact that there would be no access to this property by easement if this application wasn't coming forward right now. It would have to be negotiated with the current property owner. We wouldn't have the hammer of a development happening to be able to. So I don't want us to be forcing an easement. I want to make sure that this is a negotiated easement and it works well for both parties, because this work was planned before this application ever came forward. So I just want to make sure that we're all acting in good faith here and we're not doing something that should be outside of development here. It's more a city construction issue than, but I sense there's some benefit to you.
Well, I'll reiterate, we realize, after talking to the engineers, I realize the importance of this work being done. And from the standpoint of the owners, I think that there will be an impact. If something isn't done for the next couple of years, there will be an impact on his property. So it's in his interest to have it done. It's just a question of we can't, they want to go ahead potentially in a year or so, and we can't sort of sit back and the owners can't for 3 years and wait for it to be done, and we can't move the building at all. So I think we can work out a solution. I think I think there's room there to allow for an access.
I don't have anything else, Gord.
Then move a motion, my friend.
If you gentlemen want to stand down, I'll move a motion. That the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
Favor opposed, carried.
That the receipt of public representations be concluded.
Favor opposed, carried.